Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Well, a happy Tuesday to you. Evan and Tiki on The Fan for the next 4.5 hours, and we do indeed have a lot to discuss. Tiki Barber will provide us the definitive answer on if the Detroit Tigers are going to trade the best pitcher in baseball. We have put together a complete list of realistic Giants targets at the wide receiver position that they could add before the deadline. And what the hell is Breece Hall doing? That and a lot more over the next few hours together. But if you listen very carefully, you can hear something, and that is silence. And that silence is emanating from the Bronx, because it has now been 6 days since the Yankee season concluded unceremoniously, losing to the Toronto Blue Jays. We have not heard a peep from Brian Cashman. We haven't heard a peep from Hal Steinbrenner. We haven't even heard a peep of, hey, reports are the Yankees are going to keep Boone, or they're going to fire this coach, or they're going to do that. And this reminds me a little bit of that Tuesday in June when I came on the radio, also on a Tuesday, to you, Teak, and I said, boy, there's a lot of weird silence coming out of Madison Square Garden. And I said to you, I don't think Tom Thibodeau is going to be fired, but we have to be on alert for it. And within 45 minutes, he got fired. Now, I don't know if Boone's getting fired, but what I'll tell you is this, and tell me if you agree with me or not, it feels like there's been a lot of silence for 6 days.
Right.
And it's fair to start to ask some questions about what's going on.
Right. Now, there should be some questions about what's going on, because Brian Cashman is not always the verbose type. He's not always coming and opining about whatever's going on, but he's pretty regular with when he does it. Like, you kind of gotten into your mind about when he's going to speak. It's been 10 days, I mean, not quite a week yet, almost since the season ended, and we haven't heard anything.
Nothing.
We haven't heard any leaks. This could potentially be happening. Boone is fine. Boone is gone. We don't know anything. And so when you hear nothing, it makes you speculate.
Well, I say this to my wife all the time. I'm actually doing this right now in real life. I like to think about things before making decisions. I like to give it a little bit of time. And I was saying to my wife, I like to give it 72 hours or just let it marinate. And right. Then I decide how I want to proceed. Is it possible that Brian Cashman and Hal Steinbrenner are saying, you know what, we don't want to do anything emotional one way or the other.
Right.
We don't want to make anything permanent one way or the other. Let's just let it breathe. Let's sit back. We'll consume the rest of the baseball playoffs. Boone's under contract, so there's no rush. And let's just think about it, and then we'll make a decision. I think that's a possibility. I remember saying to you in the middle of the playoffs that Boone's, or I should say Cashman's, track record has been that when he removes a manager, and he's only removed two, Joe Torre and Joe Girardi, he did it predetermined. Like, he knew Torre was gone.
Right.
Even before the final out of Game 4 against the Indians in 2007. He knew Girardi was gone even before the final out of Game 7 in 2017. I don't think that's the case with Boone here, because I think if he was gone, he'd be gone. But is it possible that after 8 years in which this season, there's no arguing, ended in disappointment? And for the first time, in my opinion, it ended with them losing to a team that, I don't care what everyone else says in the media, a team the Yankees were better than.
Right, they should have beat.
They should have beat them. And I know that's kind of an argument, may sound crazy. I don't think it's crazy, and I've thought that all year. And this is the first time you can say that about an Aaron Boone-led team. Usually he loses to teams that are clearly better, whether it's the Dodgers or the Astros a million times. So I do think that there could be thought going on about what to do with him. And that silence only breeds more questions about, will he finally pull the trigger and make that kind of change?
The question that we should ask ourselves is, should he be fired?
I thought about this all night last night, Tiki.
And the should he be fired,
yes.
As much as it would be satisfying, to me, it's no.
Oh, really? So you go to the no?
I go to the no. He should not be fired. And part of it is because of how close they've consistently gotten and how, I don't know, the construction of the roster. A debate that we had pretty loudly the day after when we were at American Dream for that Thursday night game when the Giants upset the Philadelphia Eagles. Most of our debate that day was not football. It was what should happen with Boone and who's at fault here, Cashman or Boone, and the construction of the team. I think if you really evaluate this last season with the Yankees, that's a big reason Boone kind of had at least half a hand tied behind his back. And it was hard for him. And it shouldn't have been that hard given how much money they have spent. So my gut is no. So if we're trying to get into the mind of Brian Cashman, how much of the blame is Brian Cashman putting on himself? Or is he just saying, this is all you, Joe. This is all you, and I almost said Joe. This is all you, Aaron. This is all you.
I think those two things can be separated. Like, you can blame Brian Cashman without realizing that they're not firing him.
Yeah.
And you can still make a move at the manager's position. Like, I don't think who deserves...
Well, they're never firing Cashman.
No, I agree with you, which is why I don't even think they need to be connected. Every year that goes by, when the Yankee season ends, even last year, after they lost in the World Series, this discussion always commences, which is, should they fire the manager?
Right. Is it time? It's been how many years?
Eight years.
Is it time?
So every year, whenever we have this discussion, I remember it last year with you.
Last year, it made no sense last year.
You wanted to last year, so you forgot.
No.
You did. In the emotions after Game 5, you did. Now, you may have cleaned that up a few days later, but after the emotions of Game 5, you said, you know what? They're sloppy. They're a mess.
They were sloppy.
No, and that's why I think your opinion, a lot of it was based on just the way it ended.
Right. Well, they allowed themselves to be sloppy.
Yes.
And it was always excused. Like, yeah, we're a good fielding team.
Right.
No, you're not.
Right. Every year.
But they were in the World Series.
I get that.
Ultimately, you can't. How do you fire a guy who just got to the World Series after years of not getting to the World Series?
That was my view last year. So I keep thinking back to like every year since really 2019.
Right.
But 2020 was probably the first year where this discussion would happen every year. I think back to what did I think then and what do I think now to try to formulate my opinion for now. And in the past, I've always said the same thing, which is I'm indifferent. If you want to fire him, I understand it.
Yeah.
And if you want to run it back because you don't blame him, I get it. I'm almost indifferent to the decision. I come to you with a different opinion in 2025.
Why is this?
I think it's time. I do. And I think Aaron Boone is a fine manager. I think he would find employment elsewhere. I think he's a good dude as well. And I think he's done overall for the 8 years he's been here a solid job. And I know some Yankee fans would argue with me about that. That's for another day. But the reason today I come to you with I would pull the trigger and make a move is sometimes in baseball, it's just enough.
Right.
Sometimes in baseball, it's just your shelf life ends.
Yeah, you need the move for move's sake, not necessarily because you hate your manager or you don't think he's capable.
100%. Like, here's a funny thing about a discussion like this. There'll be Yankee fans who will call in today and say Boone has to go, and they'll say mean, horrible things about his managing. And I will disagree with 95% of what they say. But at the end of the day, I do agree with the overall thought, which is if I was running the New York Yankees, I would say...
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you for your time. I would move on. Not because he's a bad manager, not because he's an idiot, not because I blame him for all their foibles, but I think sometimes in this sport specifically, the NBA too, there's a shelf life on NBA coaches. Look what just happened to Tom Thibodeau. A part of that is shelf life, bro.
Right.
You can be really good at what you do, and it's just time. And so to me, I'd move on because 8 years have gone by. This was a disappointing result. I think the first time in his tenure in which I can genuinely tell you, I think they lost to a team that they were better than. But here's the other reason that I've never said in the 6 or 7 years we've talked about this. Have you seen who's available? Because whenever we talk about firing a coach or firing a manager, it's always, well, who are you going to hire?
Right.
I heard that about Tom Thibodeau.
And then what?
And then what? Okay, you want to hear the and what? Would you guys like to hear it? Bruce Bochy. And then what? Buck Showalter. And then what? Mike Schilt. And then what? Brian Snitker. And then what? You know what all those guys have in common? If I'm not mistaken, you can fact check me. I think they've all won Manager of the Year. I think they're all, like, Brian Snitker's won a World Series.
Right.
Bruce Bochy's won a bunch of World Series. Like, Brandon Hyde won a Manager of the Year. Like, I look at the options out there, and while I'm not saying they're all definitively better than Aaron Boone, I'm saying all of those guys are pretty damn good managers.
Yeah, I know.
And so, I like Aaron Boone. And I think overall, whether Yankee fans want to agree with this or not, I'll look back at his tenure and say, I think he did a pretty good job for a guy that didn't win a championship. I don't pin the championship drought on Aaron Boone. But I do think there comes a time and there's a shelf life in baseball. And you know who agrees with me that there's a shelf life in baseball? Brian Cashman. Now, usually
he knows that. He sets it, right, before he gets there. 10 years.
He has said it.
He's absolutely.
Now, Aaron Boone's at 8. Okay, so he isn't at 10 yet, but what I would ask you is, considering what's out there, and some of those guys I mentioned are short-term fixes,
right?
But who cares? If I win a world championship, do you care if the guy's only managing here for 3 or 4 years? Like, do the Yankees have to be the Pittsburgh Steelers of baseball where the guy's here for 10 years? There's no rule in that. You just want to win. And so I think the combination of what's out there, the shelf life, the underachievement has led me for the first time here at The Fan when talking about this Aaron Boone future to say, I actually agree with the masses. I would politely and respectfully move on.
Can I give you another reason?
Let's hear it, Sean. Your opinion is what first?
My opinion? I actually align a lot with Evan. I don't think Aaron Boone's a bad manager. I think he probably takes more grief than he should because a lot of it's organizational.
Yeah.
But there comes a time where it's just, I'm tired of it. I think we're all tired of it.
Yeah, especially when we know the organization, whatever you want to call that, whether that's Cashman, analytics, whatever, is not changing.
Not changing. This could either be why I think this is going to happen or why else it should happen. We're going to debate for a long time Bellinger versus Kyle Tucker for the New York Yankees this offseason.
Yeah.
Okay? What else are the Yankees doing this offseason? Their pitching is set, a reliever arm here or there. This is going to be one of the most boring Yankee off-seasons in quite some time. It is, because usually they're active.
But boring doesn't matter. Boring can be fine.
Exactly. And I'm not even complaining about that, right? Because boring includes calling up Spencer Jones and figuring that out. I don't think they're going to have this massive roster change.
Yeah.
So you were just eliminated in the American League Division Series by a team in your division, and there is not going to be this huge roster turnover except from within. How else do you change and sell to your fan base? Mm. What the hell is different about this Yankee team than last year that's going to get anybody exciting? I think 8 years.
You're right. But does the fan base necessarily? They're still going to go. You know what I mean?
They are, but you want to have the fan base in this town kind of looking forward to a season. And I'm going to tell you right now, while many of us might be grounded and go, okay, cool, they're going to give the opening day center field job to Spencer Jones. Cool, they brought back Bellinger. We're going to arrive in March and go, what the hell is really different about the New York Yankees that makes us think, okay, Gerrit Cole's coming back? What can become different and what you could sell is just that next clock starting on a new manager. And I think that's something the Yankees are probably thinking about because they know it's not going to be a big-time offseason, weighing that versus all the guys that Evan named. I think it is time, and I think that becomes the biggest move of the offseason.
During the Wilpon era of the New York Mets, I always used to say, if the Wilpons want to change the story and change the narrative over their lackluster offseasons and the fact they're not going to spend money, the cheapest way to do it is to bring in the manager that people want.
Yep.
And so I remember after the end of Terry Collins, the guy that people wanted was Joe Girardi after you guys removed him. And the timing was off on that. Then they had another chance to hire Joe Girardi a couple years later. And I remember saying to Joe, this is so easy for the Wilpons. A manager doesn't even make that much money. Yet you can make your fans so happy in such a simple way. That's not the way to do business, but I agree with your point.
Right.
Your point is well taken, which is the Yankee fan will feel more satisfied about this offseason by saying, hey, thank you for your time, Aaron. We just moved on with somebody else. Now, that's not the reason you should make a move. Brian Cashman should not sit in the office, nor should Hal, and say, we're going to fire the manager because the calls on WFAN are going to be more positive, or the social media likes are going to be more positive. That's not a good reason, But I understand the thought that you have as a fan, which is it's going to please a lot of Yankee fans to do that.
It definitely would. And I also don't agree it's good business, but it also could be good business if it simultaneously runs up with, it's also still time to get rid of Aaron.
Right, and it could also change things for the positive.
It could.
In a way that we just haven't seen.
And if you take Cashman at his word that this is a 10-year cycle, okay, that's how managers last, then there's only 2 years left on his tick-tock. And so if there's only 2 years left and you happen to agree with me that the list of managers that are available right now is pretty good and you have your pickings of it, why wait 2 years?
Right.
Why would you say, you know, managers have a 10-year life cycle. I'm at year eight. You know what? Let's just maximize this for the next
year. This could be as callous as it is for Aaron Boone, a firing of opportunity. It's an opportunity that you might not have a year from now.
Now, the longer the Yankees remain silent, the longer we don't hear anything, the longer that the whispers will grow louder. If you ask me today, on October 14th at 2:15 p.m., I would tell you that he will run it back with Aaron Boone. Mm. I'll also tell you that at the end of the 2027 season, after his 10th year, he's going to be fired. Like, so this is going to end in the next couple of years.
Right, one way or another.
One way or the other. But I don't say this as
but Yankee
Aaron,
fans don't want to wait another 2 years.
Unless they're going to win a championship.
True. And so that's why I leaned or gutted towards no. Because they're not far from a chance. Not like they're, God, we need to remake X, Y, and Z multiple times over. They're not far from it. But they also don't feel close.
We'll come back with your calls. I will also tell you specifically who I endorse to be the next New York Yankee manager if they make this decision. We'll hear from you. 888-808-1019. It's an annual tradition around here. 5-6 days after the Yankees get eliminated, we either get the news that the manager's coming back, the manager's gone, and then we all argue with each other should the manager come back. I do want to be fair and take you back to last year. Halloween 2024. What did Tiki Barber want to do with Aaron Boone after the Yankees lost the World Series in five? Here's how it sounded.
To me, it's not about firing Aaron Boone. I'm not calling for Aaron Boone to get fired. I know some people want to. I know that people want their pound of flesh right now, especially after some of the mismanagement. But Aaron Boone is a good manager, and he's good with that clubhouse. And now, does he need to self-evaluate and go take some, I don't know, professional best practices classes? Probably, especially when it comes to the most critical moments in games or in phases of seasons, what you need to, how you can best get the most out of your team. Sure, but I like Aaron Boone. I think he's a good manager, but there's a difference between being a good manager and a great manager, and the great managers win World Series, and we saw why he's not a great manager. It was right in front of us.
Oh, it's very interesting. So let me ask you. First of all, I'm correcting myself that because you did say you didn't want him fired. I remembered incorrectly. Right. So L for me. But do you think a year later, Aaron followed those best practices that you suggested?
Unfortunately not, because he kept making excuses. And it's one thing to make an excuse for your player to protect them. It's another when you're enabling incompetence because you're doing that. And that's what it felt like for so many weeks this year. In particular around Anthony Volpe, but there were just other instances of that. And I play football, so it's a different mentality for me, where if you are consistently inconsistent, you're getting cursed.
Right.
You're getting made an example of. You're sitting down. Someone else is going to do your job. And I guess baseball players may be more sensitive, and at least that's how managers treat them. But I think it's a cop-out. I don't think that any athlete, I don't care what sport you play, wants an excuse made for them. I don't think they want to sit there and have someone else explain why things are going wrong. Now, it's harder to take accountability when there's 162 games because, you know, one won't matter. Or, hell, 10 won't matter. But there has to be some level of accountability. And that starts with the leadership up top, and that's the manager. That's what I'm talking about with best practices. I know it's non-conventional for baseball, but you can't keep allowing the same things to derail you every single year, period.
Yep. Let's get to your calls. I'll tell you who I think they should hire in the next 12 minutes. 888-808-1019. Rich is calling from Brick, New Jersey. Good afternoon, Rich.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
What's up, man? Good. What's up?
I'm on the same side as Evan. Yeah, but. And my reasons why are this. You keep putting Devin Williams in, and those eight games could have gotten you the division at that point in time. and his game decisions over the past 8 years, they're still the same. My replacement was something that was not on Evan's radar.
Go.
I would like Tito, Terry Francona, two-time World Series manager, three times AL manager.
He's a great manager. The only reason I don't include him on my list is because he's not available.
Right.
Or at least my understanding is he's not available.
There's something the Reds haven't told everybody.
Right. In fact, I remember Terry taking the job, like, shockingly last year.
Right, didn't he just, like, retire or step away?
Left Cleveland and then joined Cincinnati, I think during the postseason last year. We were talking about the Yankees, and all of a sudden it was like, breaking news, Terry Francona is going to manage the Cincinnati Reds. So you don't have to sell me or anyone on Terry Francona's resume.
He's just not available.
I have no reason to believe he's available. Now, if you've got some news, let us know.
Right.
Scott's calling from Jackson, New Jersey. What's up, Scott?
Okay, well, I want to make a few points here, and I'm coming to this really as an independent advisor because I am a Met fan.
Okay.
Pure and through.
That's fine.
I don't believe any of those managers are coming to the Yankees because they're not going to want to deal with Brian Cashman, which is why Aaron Boone was hired, because with no managerial or coaching experience, because he would take the directives from Brian Cashman. Brian Cashman wants to run the show. The only way you're going to change the culture and philosophy of the Yankees is by saying thank you for your one title in the last 20 years, because that's all the Yankees have won. In over 20 years, they won one World Series title, but somehow this guy still has a GM job.
But Scott, there are two things here, okay? One is going through Brian's resume and saying, hey, it's time to move on. Let's address your first point, though, because your first point to me isn't true, despite it being repeated over and over again, which is Brian Cashman wants a yes man. They feed all the information like a robot, and then they spit it out. Susan Wallman said it last week with BT and Sal. I've said it to you, even if you don't want to trust me, for months and months, and I've heard it many times. He is not just being programmed by the front office. He gets information from the front office, and then he makes the decisions. Our last caller was criticizing his usage of Devin Williams. You know who made that decision? Aaron Boone made that decision.
Right.
So we say it over and over again, and we repeat it like it's fact, but I don't think it is. And I've got good reason to believe it's not. Is he an analytically driven manager? Yeah, I got news for you. Just about all of them are. But he's not just taking his directives from the front office.
I agree with that. It's hard to justify keeping saying it. There is a point of that that's probably true, but it's not as if someone's calling him in the middle of game saying, put Devin Williams in right now. Analytics says he's going to do best against whoever's coming up next in the lineup.
Sometimes you can't argue when there's a narrative in the air, right? The narrative just lives no matter how much we dispute it. Well, let's play another game of a narrative that no one's going to want to believe. And I'm going to tell you this narrative right now because it's true. I believe the next New York Yankee manager should be Bruce Bochy. I don't think I'm splitting an atom here. I don't think I'm saying anything crazy. Bruce Bochy is probably, in my lifetime, the best manager of our generation. You guys want to argue that? We'll do it on a podcast. He's that good, okay? Bruce Bochy's available. I don't give a rat's ass how old he is, all right? We've elected two geriatric presidents. A guy sitting in a uniform in a dugout can manage a baseball team if we let two men with their fingers on the nuclear codes. Okay, so if you bring up
age, I love the Yankees.
If you bring up age, it's offensive. Honestly. So Bruce Bochy is a great manager. Now, here's the narrative about Bruce Bochy that's not true. People are going to call up now and say, oh, I love that idea. You know why I love it? Because he's going to tell Brian Cashman to go scratch. He doesn't believe in analytics. He's old school. Hey, I got news for you. That's not true. Bruce Bochy, and a part of why he is one of the best managers of the generation, is that he embraces analytics. Such a dirty term. He worked lockstep with Chris Young in Texas. So Bruce Bochy, and a part of why he works, part of why he's the guy for this job and any job, is he can blend the experience, he can blend everything he's accomplished, he can blend the old school gut feeling thought with the new school analytics and information. He's always said it, I want the most information possible. But the Rangers ran their franchise, to me, the way the Yankees ran their franchise. They gave Bruce all the information, and then Bruce made decisions. And let's be honest, in the first year it was great. They won the World Series. The last 2 years haven't been great. No one's going to say he's perfect.
Right.
But Bruce Bochy will come here, if he did get the job, if the Yankees listened to me, he would come here with a narrative that's not true. And the untrue narrative about him would be the opposite of Aaron Boone.
Yeah.
He tells the front office to go scratch. That's a loogie term I like now. Sorry, just borrowing it for now.
It's okay.
Go scratch. That's not who he is. But if that's going to be the perception that makes Yankee fans feel good, I guess we can go with it. But Bruce Bochy brings it all together.
Yeah, I think you also just described exactly what Yankee fans are looking for. Aaron Boone has never managed where he had, like, years of history being able to manage with a gut feeling. So the information presented to him, he also didn't have the grounds to stand on. He probably went strictly the information given to him. Bochy, I think, will do that plenty of times, but ultimately will make the decision with the information based on his gut, and if those two things pair, he'll do it.
You don't think, especially over just this postseason, yeah, Boone made some of his decisions with his gut? Like, come on. And I'm not defending him, because there are a lot of moves I didn't like, but you can't tell me it was all analytics.
I think some of the gut decisions, in fact, a lot of them where I thought in real time were gut, were also reactionary to things that came back to backfire, including the next night going through Don over Freed
for
those innings. I do. I think they were reactionary gut decisions.
Yeah, so he's letting past issues or events influence what's happening in real time.
Correct.
But I didn't realize this about Bruce Bochy.
Yes.
Because a lot of people think he's 70 years old. He didn't want to go in the front office. But as you read deeper into what was going on there, because they don't want to spend money, the Rangers.
Yeah, they're going to break down part of that team.
Right.
More on that later.
Right. This is more about a plan to go the youth route and financial insecurity, uncertainty. And so Bruce Bochy kind of said, I'm not here to grow these young kids.
I'm here to win.
I'm here to win championships.
Bruce Bochy still wants to manage. My understanding is he still wants to manage, and he wants to go to a team where he can win a world championship.
Yes.
So we can all come up with teams on our own. I think the New York Yankees would be perfect. Now, the one thing I don't know about Bruce, and I've always wondered about this, because Bruce Bochy's name has been mentioned on this radio station for 30 years, mm-hmm, because he's been a great manager for a long time, is does he have the makeup to handle this city?
Right.
San Diego and San Francisco and Texas, it's different.
It is, but I also feel like he's at that stage of his career where he's in a, I don't have to give a you-know-what about what,
you're right,
about your opinion.
He doesn't.
Exactly. I've accomplished a ton. My resume speaks for itself. If you have doubts, just check it. I'm not answering your nonsense questions if he believes that they're nonsense.
I don't know if he cares about his legacy. I'm not sure if Bruce Bochy thinks about that.
Isn't it already kind of set?
Well, here's what I was going to say to you about that. I think I said something about 5 minutes ago. I said, I think he's the greatest manager of our generation. Mm-hmm. I guarantee there are a lot of people who don't agree with that. And the reason they don't agree with that is because who cares about San Francisco?
Right.
Who cares about Texas? And who cares about San Diego?
True, but
you want to put yourself on another level?
Yeah.
Come win here.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
But if you're in the argument as the best manager of this generation, does it even matter what somebody else thinks about
it? Probably shouldn't matter.
Exactly.
On a healthy level, it shouldn't.
I don't think it does.
But I think he's that good. And I guess I would say I defy anybody to come up with a reason why you wouldn't want to hire him. Mm. Can you come up with one?
Mm-mm.
You got one, Tommy, Shorty, anything?
Well, you hit on it.
Other than he's old.
Yeah, but that's not a good excuse.
He's only 70.
It's not a good excuse.
And 70's not old.
Exactly. I don't want to hear that, because it's like, what does that mean? Does that mean he's not good at his job? Does it mean he's only going to be here for 3 or 4 years? Because if your argument is, well, Ev, it's only going to be a few years, who cares? Go win a championship. The Yankees just had 3 managers that were here for 1 million years. Like, it doesn't matter if he's only going to be here for a couple years. You had something, Tommy?
Yeah, you kind of hit on it. I'm sure we can come up with an example of somebody that was like this. He's a West Coast guy. He might not be able to, you know, it's a different atmosphere out there.
But that's, see, think about this. So I say, I defy you to come up with a reason why you wouldn't hire him. It's just a question. It's not a knowledge. We don't know if Bruce can't handle the East Coast. And I wasn't saying it was. I was just saying,
Texas.
I wonder about it.
He handled Texas.
Yeah, it's different.
Don't act like Texas is easy.
No, you're right. But it's a question, but it's not a reason. So if you have a reason, let me know. It's just a question. And those are fair questions to ask about anybody coming to this town. But that's not a reason to not hire him. It's just, hey, I wonder. I also wonder if the Yankees are able to make a hat big enough to fit his giant skull. He's got a massive head. Michael Kay may be jealous. He always had the biggest head in Yankee land. Bochy's going to be like, hold my beer. That's not a negative thing, by the way.
Hold my 10 gallon.
Yeah. Like, having a big head is actually kind of cool. What?
It is cool. I was going to say that.
Means your brain is bigger?
Exactly.
And we've all seen those big hats. They could become Bochy hats. Now it's more merchandise sales for the Yankees.
See, it all comes together. Let's go to Vinny in Staten Island. Hey, Vinny.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. By the way, Evan, Jack McKinnon is the oldest World Series head coach, winning coach, so don't forget the age.
Trader Jack was very old with the Marlins when he took over for Jeff Torberg in the middle of that season and then beat the Yankees of all teams.
Right, exactly. If you're going to fire Boone, which I don't think they will, the one guy I would like to see them get, and he said numerous times, is Mark DeRosa. Mark DeRosa has passion. He can actually teach the young kids the elements of going, like moving from first to second, learning how to take a good grounder because he played the infield very well, learn how to bunt, stuff like that. Because, and also, don't forget, he's coaching Aaron Judge in the World Baseball Classic. He'll have a leg up to know what Aaron Judge can do. But
I like Mark DeRosa, and I think someday he'll get a managerial job. It's just that this job in particular, if I'm moving off of Boone after 8 years in which it's championship or bust, and they did this by hiring Boone.
Isn't he getting linked to the Braves?
Who's that? Mark DeRosa? Yeah, he's like the leading candidate to take over for Brian Snitker. That's why I say he may get a job sooner than later. I don't know if I'm the Yankees. I want another first-time guy. When I gave you that list of available managers, I would be drawn in by a champion, a guy who's done it before. And Mark DeRosa, again, could be a really good manager. He's also a local guy, so you know he'll handle us and the media really well. But I'd be nervous of going to another first-timer.
Is it possible the Yankees have not made a move yet or had Cashman speak because their next manager is still currently coaching?
Oh. Mm. Who you have in mind?
Donnie Baseball.
Stop it. You're embarrassing yourself. You're embarrassing yourself.
Why? He has been a successful manager.
He was a terrible manager.
He took the Marlins to the playoffs, didn't he?
Great. Have you ever watched him manage a game?
He can't learn and get better. He's been sitting on that Blue Jay bench figuring out what the hell's wrong with us all year.
Can I give you some friendly advice?
What?
Don't hire the legend.
I was that guy.
Don't hire the legend.
At the top of my list. I'm just saying, you cannot discount it.
I actually have a lot of experience with this. Whether it's Aaron Glenn, or it's Carlos Beltran, or it's Jason Kidd. Like, I don't think that's the way to go.
I'm just saying, he's out there. Okay. And he's sitting on a Blue Jay bench right now.
You are
the
typical WFN caller right now.
I got an idea, guys. Nobody's brought it up. How about Don Mattingly? What do you guys think?
He also led the Marlins to the playoffs in 2020. Is that even, are we counting that, really?
Is that the only one?
It's the only one.
He did a good job with the Dodgers, except he didn't do a good job with the Dodgers. Like, I didn't think he took that team as far as it could go. Look, I don't want to get into the weeds on it. I don't think Don Mattingly was a great manager, and I don't think that's the way to go either. But if that's who you want, you have a right to endorse him.
I would still rather Bochy. I'm just throwing it out there that we haven't heard from Cashman, and that guy is sitting after he tormented us with the Blue Jays.
Let's hear from John and Maspeth. Hey, John.
You know, I really don't give a damn who the next manager is, all right? First off, if Brian Cashman wants to talk about a damn shelf life, he needs to take a look in the damn mirror. He's already about three cycles through a damn shelf life. Second off, Tiki, what do we say about rookies?
Rookies suck.
Well, guess what? Prospects suck. I'm sick and tired of prospect hugging all these damn people like Anthony Volpe, Jason Dominguez, who just suck, all right? We got 3 years of Garrett Cole left and about 3 years of Aaron Judge prime left. Mm. Screw all these damn prospects. Trade them away for people who can play baseball now.
He's not that wrong with that.
He's not wrong at all.
Not that I want to trade every prospect like without thought. It's that the part he hit on is that Aaron Judge is in his prime. We don't know how much more time he has at this level.
Right.
Garrett Cole's coming back from Tommy John. We assume he's still in his prime. Carlos Rodon prime. Max Fried prime. Like, there is a moment here that you really need to take advantage of.
Oh, it is, you know what, or get off the pot time right now for the Yankees. You got 3 years. That's the window. Stop thinking about, hey, what are we going to be in 8 years? Who cares in 8 years? You have right now where you have potentially two of the top players at their respective positions. I'm talking Aaron Judge, obviously, Max Fried, maybe even Garrett Cole again. So maybe three. And so why would you wait? Why would you say we can kick this down the line? And if we get knocked out in the division round, we'll be back next year. Like, you got to stop at some point saying, there's always next year. And I feel like the Yankees have done that time over time over time over time. There's always next year. Forget next year. How about now?
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Pete in Sussex County. Hey, Pete.
Hey, first off, thank you for putting me on the air.
What's up, man?
I just feel, in my opinion, that Cashman's got to go. Before you talking about firing anybody or hiring anybody, this is the man that put this team together. He's responsible for that bullpen sucking in the middle of the season that threw us off track of being the division winner so we can get that bye and kick everybody else's behind. Okay? So Cashman's been around 20 years. Goodbye, Mr. Cashman. Let's get a new GM. Let him pick the manager so he can work with it and put this team back on the right track.
You know, John said it, and you've alluded to it, about the shelf life of Brian Cashman. He's been here for so long. Our last caller said 20 years. He's actually shortening Brian. He's been here for longer than that because he took over in 1998, so it's 27 years. And that's just his GM, because before that, he was in the organization for a while. There is no shelf life on a GM. The reason there's a shelf life on a manager is because you're dealing with people, and eventually that style, that voice, just becomes old. But when you're Brian Cashman, it never gets old. What's the matter?
I'm just shocked. I think I know this number, but when I hear it, it's like, what?
What?
27 years?
27 years? So you saying Cash got to go? It's too long?
I'm just saying, I mean, I was not even a Giant then. I mean, what?
His yeah, first... no, you were.
I had been a Giant for a year.
You were a young Giant.
So all the Giant fans out there, just think about how long I've been retired and then how long I started before I retired.
Kent Graham was starting games at quarterback.
Yes. When you hear it, it just, that's a long-ass time.
There is a generation of Yankee fans who don't know anything other than Brian Cashman being the GM of the Yankees. Like, wow. Think about that. And you don't even have to be that old.
Eli was in high school.
Or that young. Yes.
Eli was younger than Arch Manning.
Yes. Was Jackson Dart even born?
No.
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 Was Cam Scataboo even born?
No.
Yeah. Aaron Glenn was still active in the league. Wasn't a horrible NFL head coach. Woody Johnson hadn't even bought the Jets yet. How about that?
Wow.
It's a very, very long time.
Caitlin Clark wasn't alive yet.
That's crazy. Does that mean you want him gone because it's been so long?
No, it's just shocking to hear it.
That is kind of shocking. Let's go to Chris in Bayshore. Hey, Chris.
Yeah, hey, guys. Good show. Listen, I got two things, if you'll allow me. First of all, you're talking about Cashman. I know it's not a new release, but I just finished the Verducci book with Tori.
Yes.
And if you believe like 90% of what's in there, you know, you're going to be like, where's the integrity on Cashman? And what kind of a dude is he? I mean, it's just the guy was like, consistently going behind people's back, lying to their faces, listening to, he was just, I don't know. It was just horrendous to read. And I'm kind of neutral on him, but I mean, as far as his character, I mean, it definitely calls it into play. And the second thing, as far as like I got a sleeper manager for the Yankees, a guy that went through their system, managed in their systems, great with the media, great instructor. And that's the ex-Bucco manager, Derek Shelton.
Yeah. I mean, I just don't know how it's not that he would be a bad manager because he does have experience. I just don't know how Yankee fans would react to that. You wouldn't get exactly a lot of excitement. Think about the last two people they hired after Joe Torre, after a dynastic manager. They brought in a former Yankee who, let's face it, was a hero with that triple against the Braves in 1996 and had a little bit of success managing. But remember, he'd only managed for a year before unceremoniously getting canned by the Florida Marlins in Joe Girardi.
Right.
Then when they get rid of him, they bring in another guy, this one with no experience, whose main claim to fame was having an iconic moment in Yankee history.
Right.
So their track record tells you there would be some kind of connection to the Yankees, which, by the way, Bruce Bochy doesn't even have.
Yeah, but does that... It worked to an extent, but has it really worked, I think, is the question.
Well, I guess it would just be easier than saying, let's hire a guy in Pittsburgh who never finished above 500.
But yet you poo-poo Don Mattingly.
What was that?
Then you poo-poo Don Mattingly.
But I'm not saying that kind of guy. But that doesn't mean it's the right thing to do. I'm not poo-pooing it. I'm saying I think it would be foolish. And I think that Derek Shelton, who managed 5 years in the majors and was under 500 every single year for the Pirates, would be an incredibly tough sell to the fan base. Like, how would you react right now if you broke the glass, Sean? And you had to announce Boone's out, and they're hiring Derek Shelton. What would your response be?
I mean, it wouldn't be exciting, but I would be open-minded.
Oh, you would be?
But I also don't think I represent a lot of Yankee fans. I'm pretty much going to be open-minded on any kind of change.
Let's go to Robert in New Jersey. Hey, Robert.
Hey, guys. I can seriously remember in the early 90s, we had homegrown Buck Showalter, who we absolutely loved, lost a devastating series to Seattle. And George fired Buck, who we absolutely loved.
Yep.
We were ready to walk away from the team. I remember calling my sweet Aunt Carol, best Yankee fan I ever knew. That's it. What are we going to do? We're going to become Detroit Tiger fans now. Like, how could he get rid of Buck? And look what happened. You got Joe Torre. So with that, I rest my case. It's a good idea. Bye-bye.
You know, think about this, and we're all different, but I want everybody to think about their father. Okay? Do we emulate our fathers, or do we try to be different? And I think that there are a lot of people who say, I want to emulate my father. And there's a lot of people who are like, I want to be different. And that's not about love or hate. It's not about, I hate my father, I want to be different. It has nothing to do with that. It's just that sometimes we say, I want to do the opposite of what he does. Hal does the opposite of George. Like, he's not firing people after a year of success.
But he's also not as engaged as his father was.
And maybe that's a part of what I'm saying, that's also very different. He's very different than his father.
Right.
And in a lot of ways, that's a good thing, by the way.
He's business savvy. He's focused on holistically what the organization is, not necessarily just the team.
Right.
And so he leaves that up to Brian Cashman. He gets his advice on this team from Brian Cashman. So how is he ever going to sever that relationship when it's what he relies upon to tell him what's going on with that part of his organization?
No, you're right. And that's a part of the big difference between him and his dad.
Yes.
Because I think it's natural as Yankee fans or just Yankee historians to say, hey, remember what they did to Buck? Well, what they did to Buck was George. Mm. What we're talking about now is how. They are so different.
Yeah.
And I think you hear that and you think I'm saying something negative about Hal. That's not really true. Like, George Steinbrenner is iconic, but he did a lot of things that weren't right.
Mm-hmm.
He did a lot of things that were not smart at the time.
Right.
History tells us that.
Right, but he won a lot, and so you forgive or forget it, more likely.
Absolutely. And the key phrase, Tiki, is he won a lot.
Mm-hmm.
He eventually won a lot.
Yes. Yes.
Because there were bad periods of time as well. So they are very, very different. So I understand the Buck comparison. But really, the only comp we have is Brian Cashman getting rid of a manager after a really long period of time. That's all we have. And we saw it after 12 years with Joe Torre, after 10 years with Joe Girardi, and now we're sitting here 8 years after Aaron Boone. And the question is, will this silence lead to a change, or will this silence lead to the same old thing? More of your calls coming up at 888-808-1019. Plus, New York Giant fans, as you sit here watching the rest of your division crumble in front of you, you want to add a wide receiver for Jackson Dart. I have compiled the list of some targets. We'll go through it coming up. Plus, more of your thoughts on what the Yankees will and shouldn't do. Plus, a brand new edition of Posted and Toasted at 3:30. It's Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
what
people outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.